to my very first podcast. We decided to call this Step by Step because it's about living the Christian life, and that's just one step at a time. Most of you who are listening to this probably already know me, and that's why you're listening, but if not, I'll introduce myself. My name is Steve Braswell. I have spent now over 43 years in some form of Christian ministry, from editing and writing Bible studies for a Christian publisher to almost 30 years pastoring a couple of Presbyterian churches, one as an associate pastor, and then for the past 21 years as pastor of Graham Presbyterian Church. I retired in September of 2024. I took some time to rest, and I kept being asked, what are you going to do next? And really didn't have a plan or some specific answers. Just took some time to rest. Reminds me of not too long ago, my wife and I were at a social event, and there were several couples sitting at the table there with us, and they looked like they were a little older than we were, although you can't always tell that, and sometimes you can guess wrong. There was a man there who said that he had been retired. He asked about me, and I told him I had retired recently, and he said, well, you're going to have RAS for 2 years, Retirement Adjustment Syndrome. It's going to take you 2 years to figure out what it feels like to be retired. Interestingly, there was a woman at the table who spoke up and said, not for me. I was ready to be retired the very first day I stopped work and haven't looked back since. So we're all different, and we all approach things differently in our life. My wife, Joy, wanted me to share some of my teaching in a different format and encouraged me to do that. And then our daughter, Emily, encouraged me in a different way. She bought me a professional microphone as a Christmas present. Yes, almost 5 months ago. And they have been asking, when are you going to use the microphone? Finally, I decided it was time to start. So I'm starting this podcast. The plan is for it to appear every Monday morning at 9 a.m. But I don't know for how long. We'll just see how it goes. I am, as I said, a pastor, used to preaching most every Sunday when I was in ministry. But I don't want to just re-preach old sermons to you. I've got lots of material there that I can use, but I want this to be more like a conversation between me and you, maybe with the you missing. You can't talk back to me right now, but I'd love to hear from some of you. But even if I don't, I want to be more conversational in style. So I thought, what should I start with? Well, I didn't know. I had all kinds of ideas, but finally, I settled on three basic questions that all humans need to think about, whether you're a person of faith or not. And the first one is our subject today. Who am I? The question of identity. Now, I've already told you a little bit about who I am just to introduce the podcast, but still, that's the question we all have to think of, and we think of it differently at different seasons in our life. Who am I? We can answer that question by talking about our family tree and ancestors, maybe by our immediate family connections. For example, I've been married to Joy. This year will be 33 years. Doesn't seem like that long, but it has been. We can answer who am I by telling about our story of origin. For example, I could talk on and on about days growing up in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, where I was very involved in our local Baptist church. We can talk about our interest. For example, I have a great love for history. It was actually, I think, a gift given to me by one of the teachers that I remember in our school who loved history, and it kind of passed that love along to me back in fifth grade, and that love has grown. I also have a great love for sports. Now, I'm not the most athletic person you'd ever meet, but I do enjoy watching some sport on TV every season of the year. So, for example, right now, as of yesterday, it was the last round of the second major golf major of the year, the PGA. So I would watch that. We could also identify ourselves, who am I, by places we've lived, our travels, our various life experiences. But today, I want to go a little deeper beyond those kind of surface things you would use. For example, if you met a stranger, well, how are you doing? Who are you? And you maybe tell a little bit of your story. I want to go a little deeper than that. When you come to the end of your life, what will identify you beyond just the list of accomplishments in your obituary? And I'll be honest, one of the reasons I'm thinking about this is a very personal one. My mom is in a nursing care facility, and she has lost most of her current memory. There are times we go to see her. She doesn't even really know who we are. But she still at least, I don't know how long she'll keep this, but she's still at least very clear about her happiness that this life is not all that there is. And she's ready to go and rejoice in God's presence. So, who am I? Who are you? Here's a related question. Whose voice is going to tell you who you really are? You've got lots of voices in your head from the present and the past, almost shouting the answer to that question at you. I still remember voices from my past. Unfortunately, usually it's the negative ones that stand out in my memory. Voices that told me, you're not good enough at that. Don't even try that. You may think you're good at that, but you're not as good as this other person. In fact, you may be very good at something, but there's always somebody else who's better and therefore can put you down. Or you can't ever be successful at that because you don't have the right look. There's something about your appearance. It's just not as good as others. Or you might do well, but you're never as good as someone else who's making more money than you. It's interesting how we measure each other by money. We may not know each other's salaries, but we guess at them by houses we live in, cars we drive, clothes we wear, and then we judge each other based on things like that. Well, that reminds me of a simple children's story, You Are Special. It was written some years ago by Max Lucado. It's about a village of small wooden people all carved by the woodmaker, Eli. These people started evaluating each other and deciding who was better or more important than the others, just like we do. And to signify that, they gave each other stars or dots. If you sang well, you got a star. If you had an important job, you got a star. But if you tried to jump high or run fast and couldn't, you got a dot. One particular guy got lots of dots. His name was Punchinello. In time, he got to know another person in the community who tried to tell him that these dots on him were not important. They were not who he was, his identity. So he went to see Eli one day, the great woodworker who made everyone in the community. He explained his problem to Eli, and Eli told him this, Punchinello, I love you because I made you. You're special to me. The only dots that really matter are the ones that matter to you. And the more you really trust that I love you, the less those dots will mean to you. Remember, I made you. I don't make mistakes. Well, as the story goes, Punchinello believed him, and as he left his shop, he noticed a few of the dots falling off. Well, here's the truth about my identity. If I want to find a way to believe that I'm not good enough, I can do that every day. I know how to do that. I have had lots of practice doing that. I can always look at someone else, whether it's true or not. I can think in my head, well, that person is a better Christian, a better husband or father than I will ever be. It all depends on whose voices you want to listen to. Let me suggest you need to go to your maker. After all, doesn't he know you the best? Doesn't he understand the most about how you feel? What does he say about your identity? And so I want to just share a couple of scriptures with you today that I hope will give you God's voice to speak into your heart about your identity. First one is from the Old Testament. This one I think of in terms of it tells us about creation in God's image. It's true of everybody. Every human being You know every human being you've ever seen or met, whether they believed in God or not, is still true. They're created in God's image. The scripture, Psalm 139:13-18. You made the delicate inner parts of my body, psalmist speaking to God, and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You know, if you stop and think about just how we are put together as human beings, the amazing thing to me is that we live as long as we do, with all of the intricate parts working together just to keep us alive every day, and God made them that way. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. And as I read that, I think about, well, when the psalmist wrote this, obviously no one could watch to see how a baby was being formed inside their mother. Nowadays, of course, we have all kinds of ultrasounds. It's amazing to me how those ultrasound pictures have improved even since our children were born. And I see some of those, and it's just the detail is just amazing. Well, yes, we have that technology today. Back then, there was no technology like that. And only God saw, as the psalmist says, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. And then the psalmist says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. And this is amazing to me. Sometimes I wonder, even the people who I think love me the most, how much do they think about me during the day? But God, the one who made me, thinks about me. And how precious are God's thoughts about me. The psalmist says they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Not only did God make me long ago, but God is still with me. So that's part of who I am, that God made me, created me in God's image. Then I turn to the New Testament and want to share with you verses from Ephesians 2, 4, and 8 through 10. These verses tell us about our identity, not just creation in God's image, but redemption by God's plan. Now, creating God's image is true of every person. Redemption by God's plan is true of everyone who believes in Christ. So Paul writes this after talking about our sinful state and how we're dead in our sin. In verse 4, he says, but God, a great contrast there, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Whatever God did in Christ, God did for us. The resurrection of Christ is our resurrection from the deadness of in our sins. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Just like the Punchinello and his friends who tried to take credit for the good things they did. No, this is not about credit. This is not about accounting. The good people get grace and the bad people don't. No, you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. And we love to boast. Some people are brazen about their boasting. They just love to do it and make it obvious to everybody. Others of us are a little more humble about our boasting, a little quieter. We don't like to do it loudly, but we still like to boast. We want people to know, yes, I'm good, I'm better than others. Salvation? No. it's not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. I love that phrase in verse 10. We are God's masterpiece. You know, an artist who has a lot of talent can work all their life, and they usually just have one masterpiece. God has millions, billions masterpieces in the lives of those who have believed in Christ. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So, who am I? Who are you? Lots of ways to answer that, but bottom line, what am I going to believe about myself? The answer to that question. Which voices am I going to listen to and believe? I still have those voices in my head, but when I hear those opposing voices, those voices who want to put me down and say, I'm not good enough, I go back to God's voice. And God's voice says, I made you. I don't make mistakes. I made you in my very own image. And then I sent my son Jesus to redeem you. Yes, you were dead in sins. Nothing you could do about it, but I gave you new life in Christ. Now, I can believe, I don't know about you, but I can believe God has done some good things in me, but sometimes I wonder if I've done good enough back for him. And so I want to finish with this verse from Philippians 1:6. Paul writes, and I am certain, I love that certainty, I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Has God begun a good work in you? Is there any sign in your life that God has worked in your life? Probably so. All right? If God has begun a good work in you, he will continue that work until it's finally finished. Will I do good enough to make it finally finished? No. If it's up to me, I'm going to find some way to mess it up. But God's work is being worked out in me, and then one day he'll finally finish it on the day when Christ Jesus returns. Thanks for spending this time with me. I'm looking forward to this time we'll spend together week by week, step by step. Join me next week then for our basic question number two. Number one was identity, who am I? Next week, number two, purpose, why am I here? I look forward to talking with you next week.